good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Several announcements for you. If you'll look in your heart publication, there's a security team info card, and we'd like to gather this information. And it can be men or women. I mean, some of it military and things. Traditionally, we think of guys. But if you could fill this out and place it in the offering plate, we're looking for you to respond in each of these categories. I have a carry license. I served in the armed forces. Which one? And right down the line. And then if you look on the back, there's also going to be a meeting Saturday the 12th, which is next Saturday, at 10 a.m. right in here, where we're going to meet and discuss it, and we're going to have a local law enforcement officer give us some orientation. And so I want to encourage you to come. If you're interested, please bring this. Now, as you know, we've had carry classes here. The very first one, we had 137 people in the class, and 133 went out to Port Mayaca and shot at cardboard, and men and women. After that, I've had some of our senior ladies come up, not a bunch of them, but say, "Pastor, I've got my gun in my purse." You know, so you know, you have to be careful with that. Many of you may know the story. It's a true story taken off of police blotters, where a dear old sweet senior lady was coming out of the grocery store pushing her cart, and she came up to the car, and this was the situation. There were three Hispanic guys in it, so she pulls out her gun out of her purse, and she holds it on them and says, basically, make my day. And all three of the guys go running across the parking lot. They run and leave and go out of the parking lot like their tails are on fire, and she tries her ignition key and can't crank it, and then she looks down the row, and there's an identical car, and she got in the wrong car, so she got in her car, she drove to the police station, and there were three very panicking young Hispanic men saying a grandma was stealing our car, you know, so... You got to be careful about that. You know, you need to have some perspective, you know, with that. So today we're recognizing this is our Vacation Bible School Sunday, and our VBS collected over $1,200 to reach Muslims for Christ for missions. Let's give them a hand. Amen. And overall, I think we had around 100 kids participate in VBS. And so a little later in the service, they're going to be singing for us. And we're going to enjoy that, and they're going to sing the offertory when we collect the offering. But also, I want to lead us in prayer, and we want to pray for two things. First of all, we want to pray for our youth. They're going to be leaving tomorrow morning for youth camp. And then on that note, we want to pray for Texas. As you know, many of you know, there was a great flood there. 30-foot waters swept through. And one particular Christian youth camp, there's 27 of the campers they still can't account for, most of them girls. And over 51 were drowned in the flood. And so we want to pray for them. And is our camp on high ground, Rebecca?
Sir.
Is our camp on high ground?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's on. Good. Okay, all right. And you can swim?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So anyway, but we're going to be praying for our youth, and we're going to be praying for this tragedy. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and ask you, please, Almighty God, to pour your spirit out there in Texas. We pray, Lord, that you'll comfort these families, all of them that have children that are unaccounted for. We pray that you would just draw close to them, draw them to yourself through this tragedy. We pray if any of these kids, these students, these young people are still alive somewhere, that you would place your hand over them and help first responders get to them quickly. And we pray that you would preserve lives if there are some still viable there. We pray that you would just pour your spirit out. Be with the other families that have lost loved ones and encourage them. And Father, we want to lift up our youth group to you, the 18 that are going to camp tomorrow. We pray that you would just bless them, pour your spirit out upon them. Be with Rebecca and our leadership as they take them and as they supervise them. We pray that this would be a life-changing week for all of them as they go and take part in this. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, we have our men's prayer breakfast at Berry Fresh. It's the back room. I want to encourage you to come and take part in that. We've been having some great, great fellowships, times of prayer, and a real blessing. And so I want to encourage you guys to come 8 o'clock in the morning. And you can leave whenever you need to. Come and go, but come and be with us as we do that together. God bless.
All right, we're going to kick off VBS Sunday. So if you were in Magnified VBS, you guys come on up on the stage, and we're going to have a few words from our director, Miss Allison.
It was a wonderful VBS, and I'd really like to compliment all the volunteers that we had. It was amazing because of our volunteers. Not only that, but God sent replacements as we needed them. And I have to say that one of our newer members, who's not familiar with the campus very much, was a little nervous, and I was nervous for her because she needed someone to accompany her with her second and third grade group to find the places around the campus. And God sent Annika. There she is back there. Stand up, Annika. Oh, so wonderful. So wonderful that she came and she helped. And she's very familiar with the campus. She's our PE teacher for the school. And so that many instances of that throughout the week. And so God just did it. It was great. It really was. Here's Rebecca.
Thank you. And if anybody doesn't mind, someone who knows how to work this thing could maybe Mr. Darren. All right, guys.
Appreciate the lyrics of the songs they were learning all week. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you. Today I'd like to speak to you about the Lord Jesus and his desire for us and the way we treat children, how we respond to children. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13. Familiar passage. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And after laying his hands on them, he departed from there. So here we see the Lord Jesus responding and the disciples saying, you know, kids are a nuisance. This is a bother to the master, to our master teacher, our Lord. And we need to, you know, shield him from them. And a lot of times we might even have some of that attitude here in the West, here in the United States, where a lot of times children, we say, you know, they should be seen and not heard. Anyone ever said that? Don't raise your hand. But, you know, children should be seen and not heard. And a lot of times we as Western people, we segment ourselves that way, where we will actually have our adult things and then the children, just like our children left for children's church. When we have our life groups, there's the children's classes and then all the way up to our adult classes. In a lot of the world, it's not like that, especially in the third world, especially in the Hispanic world. When they have Bible studies, when we have home Bible studies, some of our denominations, some of our churches actually will designate a home as the nursery home, and everybody drops their kids off there, and then they go to the other home to have their adult Bible study. Well, in the Latin world, the kids are there, and they're all over them. I mean, they'll be on the sofa, and there's kids crawling along the behind them and above them and around them and all over them, and it's integrated, and there's an openness to it. And we see here the disciples were kind of carrying this Western view as they were responding, and the Lord Jesus steps up with them, and he says he wants to love children, and he wants them to be accessible to him. He wants them to have access. And from that, I'd like for us to look at verse 13, 14 again. The little children were brought. They were denied at first by the disciples, but Jesus said, bring them here. Let the little children alone. Don't hinder them. Now, there's several things in our life. First of all, we need to keep an open spirit with children, and we need to affirm them. Now, we're carrying heavy loads. The adults are paying the bills, going to work, dealing with illness, all the worries and cares and concerns of life. Children don't have that. But when the child comes up and says, Mommy, look what I drew for you. And Mommy's thinking about the grocery list, Dad's coming home, we've got an appointment, you know, all these other things. She's all nice, nice, and kind of pushes the child away. And a lot of times we need to recognize that God wants us to keep our spirit open to them. When you get older, in fact, the seniors that are here, you'll look back and you'll say, I wish I spent more time with my children. Can I hear an amen? I wish my spirit was more open to them. I wish I didn't brush them aside. I wish I went to more events. I miss so many of them. Maybe climbing the corporate ladder, and then later you get a golden parachute and they kick you out of the plane anyway. You know, you go through all that. And we look and say, and my whole life with my family, especially in ministry, I've had the attitude that my family is for life. Kim, Shay, Josh, the kids and grandkids. I love you. You're my church family. But we may not always be together, but I'll always have them. And one of the things you need to prioritize in your life is who's going to come to your funeral, you know, and make that a priority in life. I'm going to be affirming them. I'm going to be close with them. They're going to have a priority in my life. And we need to also be affirming with children. In my first church years ago, there was a family in the church. They had two boys. And he was a plumber, a small contractor, and his wife did the finances for their little business. And their boys were kind of struggled. They struggled with things. And the youngest one, Matthew, came up to me one Sunday after church, and his mother was standing there near him. And Matthew looked up at me and said, Pastor, when I get older, I want to become a doctor. Well, I saw Marianne spin around, and she looked and she said, you'll never be a doctor. She said, that's just not us. You're probably going to be a plumber like your dad. And, you know, I looked at her, I looked at him, and I said, Matthew, I love your mother, I respect her, but you can be anything you want to be. And he kind of looks at me, you know. I said, And then after he was out of earshot, I said, Mary Ann, if he becomes a doctor, he'll support you and Bill a lot better than if he's a plumber. I said, you really need to push this. In fact, they say Jewish mothers, if one of their boys picks up a tool, they'll slap them on the hand and hand them a book. They'll hand them a book and say, read this book. You know, we need to be open in our spirit. We need to be affirming with children. And I love that with my parents. They told me, my brother and sister, you can be anything you want to be. Anything you want to be. And although my dad loved the sport, especially football, he was a catcher in baseball, he did not, even though I had decent size, obviously, he did not push me toward football. He said, you'll get injured in that. I want you to play basketball. And he pushed me toward basketball. But he said, if you want to play football, do it. And I played 2 or 3 years. But we need to see that God wants us to keep our spirit open to children. I tell my grandkids, you can be anything you want to be. And I affirm them, you know, and whatever you want to be. What do you want to be? You could be this. You could be that. You can be anything you want to be. And we need to keep that open spirit with them, that affirming spirit with them. And then we need to make time for children in our life. It's interesting that in surveys now, they say that the average dad spends 7.8 hours a week with their children. That's, you know, a little over an hour a day. Now, that is a drastic increase. When I first started sharing these statistics, especially at Father's Days, back in the 80s, the 90s, back in that time frame, the average dad spent about an hour and a half to 2 hours a week with their children. We're talking 15 minutes to 20 minutes a day or less with their kids. So that's drastically gone up. But we need to recognize that our children respond to that and our emphasis on that in their life. And then we need to learn the love language of our children. As you may be aware, there's been 5 designated love languages. All of us sitting here have one that's predominant. And through the years, in looking at people and dealing with people and my own family and reading these books about the love languages, I think there's a lot of reality to that you're going to have one of these 5 expressions of love in your life. It's either time, talking, or communication, your treasure, the idea of giving and giving things and gifts, or touch, physical touch, or service, acts of service, where you do things. So in your life, if you look back over your life, you'll say, these were my favorite gifts. And the gifts might have been when Dad said, I'll take you anywhere you want to go, and you've got the whole day, you've got my attention. You say, that was the best gift my dad ever gave me. Or if it's gifts, you esteem a quality gift, something that's thoughtfully thought out. Now, me and cards, I give the cards, the anniversary cards, the birthday cards. I'll go into CVS, stand in the aisle. Kim's not here. She's got a headache today. Don't tell her. But she probably already knows. But I'll stand in the aisle, and I'll buy 3 of each. I could spend an hour or two there. And I'll buy 3 anniversaries, 3 birthdays for your wife, 3 birthdays for the kids, and I keep an inventory. And so I'm not forgetting those things. So guys, if you want a tip on that and you keep forgetting, today when your wife's not around, you go out and buy a batch of cards and hide them somewhere at home. But the idea of these love languages and acts of service. Some of you may be annoyed, either wives or husbands, when your husband or wife says, would you get me a glass of milk while you're there in the kitchen? Or would you bring me a napkin? Or would you, you know, do this or do that? And you're always asking me to do stuff. Well, more than likely, their love language is acts of service. And you don't know it, but you're actually telling them that you love them when you do those things. And that's an expression of love. Now, you may have a person, and I happen to know one, that has a combination of a couple of these things. But you need to be aware. My son Joshua, I did not understand him growing up, you know, as far as his love language. And I took him fishing, golfing. Dad, I don't want to golf. Dad, I don't want to go fishing. And sometimes I made him go, you know, because I wanted to go. And I'm not going to be the dad that didn't take you. No, you're the dad that made me go, you know. But now, what does he love? I mean, back then he was griping about it. He loves fishing. He's got a boat membership. He loves golfing, and he beats a bunch of people that he does business with and those types of things. But I didn't realize that Josh's love language was gifts. He was 16 years old, and I bought the Ryobi tool set at Home Depot with the charger and the batteries, and it had a drill and a saw and all that, and I gave it to him. And he says, what kind of a dad gives his kid tools for his birthday? And I said, this kind of dad, you know. And he didn't think that was a good gift. Guess what? He just became a general contractor. And he loves gifts, and he's got his own website that evaluates tools. And he gets some residual payment from that. And he's banging it. He just opened his Orman Contracting. But the idea of gifts, and where you think, well, I don't care really if someone gives me this or that or, you know, whatever. But your spouse, your kids, those your loved ones, that may be their love language. So you really need to key in on this with children and your children. And determine which one of these it is. Physical touch. Hug them. I mean, I've talked to men that said, my dad never hugged me. He never touched me. And, of course, many of you have heard this story and over again. My dad was dropping me off for football. A bunch of my buddies were sitting on their motorcycles with their half shirt on. They didn't have their shoulder pads or helmets on yet. They had on their football pants. They were waiting for practice. Dad dropped me off. And when I got out of the truck, he said, Daryl, come here. And I walked around to his window. He reached up, grabbed the back of my head, put my face in, kissed me on the cheek. I turned three shades of red. And I thought, I'm going to hear it now, this whole practice. You know, they're going to be really riding me. And I want to tell you something. Those guys didn't say a word until later. And after practice, I had three of them say, I saw what your dad did. I wish my dad would do that. I wish my dad would kiss me on the cheek. So I've taken it to the next level. With all seven of the grandkids, I lick their necks. And so I haven't done it since they've gotten bigger. But they'd come to our house, and four of them get out of the car like this. Now, they're grinning, and they're saying, don't lick my neck, you know. But so ask them. When the next time you see one of them, ask them. You'll hear it. And so the idea of physical touch, acts of service, communication, thoughtful communication. Some of you, I mean, my mother was that way. One time I'm preaching a revival, and I call her at night on the phone before I go to bed. I'm in the hotel room 2 hours later, and my mother had 100 transitions to keep me on the phone. Oh, Daryl, one more thing, or did I tell you, or meh, you know, and we keep going. And then finally at the end she said, Daryl, this was just like a visit. I said, yeah, a long visit, you know. But she cherished that, the verbal communication. And then we see next that the Lord Jesus wants us to pray for children. Look in verse 13. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Pray with your kids. Pray with your grandkids. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of you grandparents, if I were to ask you for a show of hands, could actually say my grandkids have ever heard me pray for them. You know, put your hands on them. Every time they come, when they're arriving, I'll go around and pray for all of them individually. I'll take them aside. And then when they're leaving, I'll make sure and pray for them. And then a lot of times in between, you know, pray for them. I want them to hear me praying for them. And pray for the Lord Jesus. You just picture it, the love of God pouring out of him. We've experienced that when the Holy Spirit's controlled us. When we sense his filling in our life, we've sensed his control. And we've sensed that love that's not our love. It's not our compassion. It's not our natural emotion. The love of God. And here's the Lord Jesus, the embodiment of it. And there he is in the midst. And the little children are drawn to him. Now, it's unfortunate the time we live in when there's so much suspicion about adults and children because there's so much garbage going on. I'll walk in here when the kids are in here in aftercare, and usually there's anywhere from 3 to 6 of them run over and hug me. Usually, of course, they're this tall, so they're hugging my leg, you know. And I'm a little uncomfortable, and I just kind of pat them on the head, you know, and say, God bless you, you know. But the Lord Jesus, you could just picture those kids swamping him. They're just drawn to him. And children know if you love them or not. Children know if you got that sweet spirit, that openness, and you love them. And so the Lord Jesus did that, and he prayed for them. And pray for their future. Pray for their protection. Pray for their wisdom. And pray for them to be spirit-filled. Pray for them to live for Jesus Christ. When I was riding with the two grandsons at one point, and this is not a rough story, but we're riding along, and I played this song, Your Presence is My Weapon, that song. Have any of you ever heard it? Oh, my gosh, you've got to Google that or YouTube it. Your presence is my greatest weapon. And so I'm playing, I took it through my phone to the radio on the car, and I look over at Gabe, and Gabe has got his face in his hands, and he's bent over, and he's sobbing next to me because you could sense the presence of God in the car. And I thought, this is so cool, you know, to see this young boy sensitive to God, you know, and sensing God's presence. Can I hear an amen? And so God wants us to pray for our children and encourage their relationship with Christ. Number three, the Lord Jesus wants us to be like children. And if you look with me in chapter 18, just a couple chapters back, the first 6 verses of chapter 18. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone, 100 pounds, 200 pounds of stone, be hung around his neck, and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea." I mean, what a word picture. Jesus said, if you cause these little ones to stumble, if you put things in their pathway for morality and for godliness and the walk in him, you need to have a giant boulder tied around your neck and thrown in a lake. Wow. And so the Lord Jesus in this, he says he wants us to be like children. We're to be humble like children. And that's the beauty of kids, and that's why so many of you enjoy working with them in our VBS and Awanas and so many of these other things. Our praise God for our preschool workers with the school all day long with the children. But they have a humility. They're willing to ask for help. They're willing to respond to assistance. And they're just really, really open and truthful. And it's exciting what they do. And then we're to trust like children. And children are very trusting. And that's why they're taken advantage of a lot, is they're very trusting. And we need to acknowledge that and esteem that and recognize that. And then he says, we're to be like that. We're to be trusting. I know the older you get, the harder it is to trust. And in the society in which we live now, where everyone's trying to get your password, everyone's trying to get control of your cell phone, everyone's trying to get in your bank account, and we've all got to be so guarded that it's hard to trust. And those of you that have been in business, when you've been cheated, when people have lied to you, when they didn't pay you, or that, you know, they did litigious things against you, it's really hard. It gets harder and harder to trust. That's why when I look at senior people and I see that openness, that humility, that trust, and with that, we rehearsed it yesterday, think of Gary Porter, one of our deacons that just went to be with the Lord, Gary and Helen, meeting so many. How many of you met the church kind of through them, through the lobby or greeting? Raise your hands. All over the place. But here's a senior couple that are open and trusting and loving and humble. And Jesus said he wants us to be like that, to be like children as they are. Watch children. Watch them in the mall. You know, watch them on the playground. We were watching them here. Little Sammy was desperately trying to keep up. Can I hear an amen? I mean, he was studying Rebecca the whole time, trying to, you know, do everything. I mean, the little guy was huffing it. I mean, I thought he was going to break out in a sweat, you know, trying to keep up. And we see this with children. Number four, the Lord Jesus wants to receive and protect children. When we receive children, we are responding to Christ. And this is the way he refers to it in chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Now, he says when you receive them in his name, that means identifying with Christ, identifying with Jesus, with Christianity, and identifying with him. That's why the blessing of our Christian school. And when we're receiving them like this, he says, we're receiving Christ. And he goes on and says that it's important for us, whoever then humbles himself as this child is greatest. And when we receive him, whoever causes one of these to stumble, they're in trouble. And so we see this, and finally, we're to be converted like children, like little children. And they used to say that around 80% of all the Christians in America in the past decades gave their life to Christ before 18 years old. And a vast majority of them in summer camps and vacation Bible schools through the years. And so we see this idea of us being converted like little children as we respond to God. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes today. And I'd like to ask you, have you been converted like a child? A child has to admit their needs. When you look at little children, they desperately need us, and they openly admit it. The older we get, the more independent we get. No, I can do it myself. No, leave me alone. And in Scripture, he says that we are to be open and receptive like a child. We're to receive that assistance from Christ. No, I can't do it my own. No, it's not my own righteousness. No, it's not my own efforts, my own intellect, my own abilities. It's Christ. It's Christ. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Let's bow together in prayer. I'd like to ask you right now, have you humbled yourself and really acknowledged how much you need Jesus? How much you need his grace? You need his salvation. Now, I'd like to invite you right now, if you would, speaking to him, praying to him as he's present here now, and just say, oh, Lord, I want to be humble like a child. I want to receive you. I want to respond to you. I need you. I trust you. Please, Lord, take control of me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Live in my life. I receive you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand together and sing, and we're going to open up our invitation for you. I want to invite you to respond to God as he's speaking to your heart. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about joining this fellowship, being a part of this body. Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe you have a praise. Whatever the case, do business with God. Let's sing together.
Just as I am.
Mention a couple of things to you, a couple of reminders, and remind our men about our prayer breakfast tomorrow morning, Berry Fresh, 8 o'clock, and come and be a part of that, and what a blessing that's going to be. And want to encourage you to take part in our life groups in the future as well. And at this time, I've asked one of our new families in the life of the church, Fleming Nielsen, I've asked him to come and dismiss us in prayer. Let me borrow your microphone, Rebecca. And the Nielsens, you can be seated for a moment. The Nielsens are relatively new in the life of our family. As Annika has been our PE teacher over this past school year, and he shared with us Saturday or Friday at our picnic that they've been in the country for about a year from Denmark. And before he prays, I want to encourage you to pray for them. They've come under a business visa, and we'll share more with you about that next week. But from their visa, Annika's able to work, but Fleming is not outside of that business. So they found that Annika, by updating her degree from Denmark with one more course, then she can get into physical therapy and some other things, and then it can open it up. Fleming has been a general contractor, commercial and residential, in Denmark, in Spain, in other places, very accomplished. He's got two different contracting companies that have talked to him about being a job superintendent, a foreman for them, but he can't do it until their visa's upgraded. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer for them and for this visa situation. Annika needs to get her transcripts from Denmark, and if you could pray for God to do that quickly and get those in hopefully this week, and for them to be able to do this to help provide for their family. We love them. They moved here from Denmark because of Christianity, their relationship with Christ. Said Denmark has gotten real secular, although a lot of professing Christians, but they don't want it in the public square. It's kind of oppressive in that way. And they moved here because of our country, the history of our country, and because of their relationship with Christ. And so I've asked Fleming to dismiss us in prayer. And although he grew up with a pastor dad, this is the first time he's ever prayed for a congregation to dismiss. So pray for him as he prays for us. Amen. Amen. Okay, Fleming, go ahead. Dismiss us in prayer.
Let's bow our head. Dear Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We thank you especially for your salvation. We ask you to be with the people in the great state of Texas right now. We ask you to help us be good examples as Christians and bless us in the coming week and bless especially this great pastor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
So tonight we're looking at the Church of Philadelphia, and it's interesting that the name Philadelphia came from the founder. This city was founded and in 140 B.C., and it was an interesting city. It was a wealthy city like a lot of these. It was the conjunction of three different roads that came together. They were known for wineries. They had a lot of grape vines and wineries and that sort of thing. And one of the leading gods that was worshipped there was Dionysus, which is the god of wine and so forth. And there were multiple gods there. And an interesting place, and we're going to look at it tonight and look at the church. The church there was a small church, and the city also had some volcanic activity near it, and from that it produced some hot springs that were there, and maybe they had some warm baptisms, unlike some of ours. And so when we look at this, we see that each of the churches have been correlated to different time frames of church history. And this particular one has been designated as the period of the open door, the missionary period, to correlate with the missionary period, which was 1750 to 1900. And when you think about that time, here's some interesting information relating to that time period in human history. William Carey was born in 1761, considered the father of modern missions. Adoniram Judson, 1788. Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, was born in 1832. David Livingston, I presume, started the London Missionary Society in 1813
And then our own Lottie Moon, one of our missionaries, Southern Baptist missionary, the Lottie Moon offerings named after her. She was in China for 40 years, and she was born in 1840. So these are just a few samplings of dozens of world-class historical missionaries that were born in that time frame and started various mission groups to reach the world for Christ. And so that's why oftentimes people will designate this as the missionary or the open door period in church history. So today, tonight, let's look at the passage together. If you've got your Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews but are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, in order that no one can take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So as you've known, we've looked at this and we've seen, first of all, that in each of these churches, Jesus begins by giving an image of himself. And most of these relate back to chapter 1 in the revelation of Jesus Christ there to John on the island of Patmos as he reveals himself and these various characteristics of him. Eyes like a flame of fire, feet like burnished bronze, having the seven candlesticks, seven stars in his hands, and so forth and so on. So here we see these images of Christ. First of all, he says, I am holy, the Holy One, he who is holy. And this is the idea of absolute separation, sanctification, separation from the sinfulness and defilement of this world. It's a transcendent separation that he has. It's above and beyond anything that we can imagine. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3, there's a description of this. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. And so we see this description of the holiness of God, that universal it is, covering the earth and his holiness. Then secondly, it says, he is true. He is true. He is reliable. It's interesting, the Lord Jesus refers to himself a lot in that way. And he says this, which is familiar to all of us, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In he is light in him whom there is no darkness. There's no shadow of turning. There's no swaying of a deception whatsoever. It's completely foreign to his nature. He can't lie to us. And that's quite a distinction when you look at the other major world religions and you look at the gods that are represented in the other world religions. When you look in Islam, Allah is capricious. That means that he can change. He can do whatever he wants to. He's unknowable. He can lie. In fact,
Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again. I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stuart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that he will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Outreach is about saving lives for eternity. It is our way of our church family to get involved and to serve our community outside the walls of our church. Some examples of our ministries are, one, at Thanksgiving, we have a Feast of Plenty, which serves our community as we provide a free Thanksgiving meal. Our members share a meal and fellowship with the community. And at Christmas time, it is celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ through a musical performed by our choir, and it's open to the community. Well, during Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with our community through the Easter Fair. We share the love of Jesus Christ through worship and games and food and through fellowship. We are currently raising money to build a community athletic facility, which will serve the church, the community, and our school to continue to reach the people for Christ. And throughout the year, we participate in golf and fishing and hunting tournaments, women's conferences, men and women's Bible studies, and mothers of preschoolers called MOPS. The goal of our ministry is to reach people to come and love Jesus and their Lord Savior and encourage them to join the family of God. Won't you come and meet our family?
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die.